Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric, with our biggest sale ever. Furnaces from $39 a month. Furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month. Plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great, man.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
No problems in life?
No. Not that I can think of.
Kids are good?
They seem to be fine.
Good. Getting straight A's, I hope?
Well, they do fine in school.
You know, everybody has a different definition of fine. For me, and probably for every kid. I mean, my parents had four kids. I think for a couple of my brothers, they expected a little more, and a couple of us, they expected a little less. For me, it was definitely... I think a C. Were your parents happy if you got a C?
Oh, I think, like, by the time I got to high school, my parents weren't.
Yeah.
They didn't even ask. They were just like, you're failing everything. We know
I think my parents were worried that I could fail, especially when there was a year where I had to take summer school, I think junior into senior year.
I failed summer school.
Oof.
My parents made me take it, and I failed that, too.
I think if I hadn't taken it, I would have been two behind, you know what I mean, to graduate.
I was two behind to graduate.
And meanwhile, I had friends who only went to school like 1 hour a day their senior year and worked the rest of the day because they were like, we're done. We've got done everything we needed to do. I'm like, Jesus, I'm just barely squeaking by here. And they wait till the last semester.
I was never impressed by that because they're like, well, I only got to go to school 2 hours. I'm like, yeah, I don't have to go ever.
Yeah, I mean, you guys really, really, really figured
like,
it out for
good
sure.
Good for you.
For sure. Did you... first tell your parents, or did you first tell the school? I'm guessing you have to tell your parents.
I told the school.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I like to imagine is that you tell the school.
Yeah, I was in the counselor's office, and they were like, well, this is what you'd have to do to graduate. You'd have to do this, you have to do this, and then if you took, like, a summer school class, and then maybe, like,
a night. You would take a summer school class at that point?
Like, I don't remember exactly what it was, but, you know, you could get it done.
It wasn't just like you need an elective. You need to take cooking.
No, it was a lot of stuff. There's more to it than that. And I just remember saying, like, well, I mean, I think somehow I could have graduated with my class on time, but I would have had to take, like, maybe a night class or something. You know what I mean?
It's
I don't remember.
Same for me. It's the exact same story. You can do all this and graduate on time, maybe, or just leave.
You're in the counselor's office, too?
And they were like, and you can start going to, you know, JUCO or whatever, you know, in a month if you just go get your GED and take classes you want to take.
Oh, right. As opposed to finishing high school, which will take longer.
Yeah.
You get your GED now.
Yeah, and so I started JUCO when I was 17.
Okay. Well, Lazo started the Navy when he was 17.
Yeah.
Right? I mean.
Yeah, and then they were like, if you do all this, you know, you can graduate. I said, well, I've been here for 4 years, and I've never done anything close to what you're asking me to do.
Right.
Like, I mean.
Who says it'll start now?
As predicts future, you think, like, all of a sudden this is going to motivate me? I'm just going to knock out these 12 classes?
Yeah, you lose the motivation.
Why don't I just go home?
Well, in elementary school, you don't want to be the kid that gets held back.
No,
so at least for me, that's where it started. You've got, you know people, you're like, wait, why is Dusty still in first grade? And they're like, oh, he got held back. And you're like, oh, boy. So that there's motivation there when you're in elementary school. Like,
I don't
want to get held back.
I don't think they hold you back because you didn't do stuff.
Well, I mean, like, you know, there were kids who were
some learning.
Exactly. Right. I didn't know that at the time, though. I just felt like they got such bad grades, they got held back. And I knew I wasn't getting very good grades. So I was like, I don't want to get held back. That would be bad because I hear kids make fun of these kids who get held back. By the time you get to high school, though, you still have that mentality. But there's really no holding me back at that point. You can't hold me back. You can't hold me back. I'm destined for greatness. What are you going to hold me back?
Well, even when are you going to hold me back? We're all in the same school.
Right. Right.
Like, no one knows that I just have the credits of a ninth grader.
They don't know what grade you're in.
Even though I'm in the 12th grade. Like, no one knows that.
In elementary school, they're in a different hallway with the same teachers or whatever. And you're like, ooh, you stayed in the fifth grade
you
hallway.
You got to go back to that same teacher we had last time.
Yeah, that's noticeable. But you're right. Mm-hmm. In high school, it's just like somebody that you're passing in the hall. Right. Hey, what's up, Lazo?
And they're like, look. I guess you could say he's in 10th grade math, but I didn't go to math anyway. So you didn't know what class I was in.
Exactly.
So I wasn't there.
And if you got held back, the juniors, when, you know, your senior year, those juniors now the same age as you just would have thought, oh, I thought he was a year older than us. Mm-hmm. And you just say, nope, I'm definitely the same age as you guys, and that's that. But by then, you start to understand, like, what is the benefit here? Will I get made fun of? No, not really, because you just pointed out why. Is this going to change my life drastically, having this high school diploma versus not having it? And they can't really make that case at that point.
Well, they certainly can't when you don't have, like, a, you know, I think, like, my grade point average was, like, a
that's what I mean.
8 or something. So it's not like they were like, well, if you knock this out, they're like, you'll get your diploma. They weren't like, if you knock this out, you'll go to Yale.
That's it.
You're not going
it's not
anywhere.
One or the other. Yeah. It's like, even if I get the degree, whatever college I can go to, I can go to with the GED.
Right.
And it would be some sort of JUCO, open enrollment school, and I can get in there with the GED. So, why are we having this conversation?
I wish they would have mentioned that to me. They didn't. But.
Dude, if they'd mentioned that to me sooner, I would have quit school for sure.
Of course.
And I think my parents would have allowed it, because by then, I think my mom would have been upset, just because she wouldn't want to tell her friends.
I do think I use the same mentality. I mean, I think there was, like, people like, oh, you know, you could go to, you know, Schoolcraft College was the community college right by my house. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, what makes you think I'm going to go there?
Right,
I'm not going. Like, I just didn't go to high school.
And now I'm gonna. Now I'm JUCO.
Like,
I'm loading
up with college classes. I'm sure.
Right,
where no one cares if I show up.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
No one's calling your parents.
Yeah.
No one's telling anybody. It's up to you to show up and show up on time.
That's exactly what happened. I signed up for classes, went for like the week, and then just.
But you had this mentality of like, now I'll try.
Exactly.
This costs money. This is where I needed to be. I needed to be in college.
Like, I wanted to. Take.
I wanted
to sign up for them.
I'm going to be an advertiser.
For some reason, I scheduled them like at 8 a.m. Still.
Yeah, I knew better than to do.
Why the hell I would do that?
I did know better to do that. When I got into college, I said no morning classes. So I ended up taking all of these night classes, which were for non-traditional students. So I had like 3 classes that were 4 hours long once a week. You know what I mean? But it was just because I knew if I scheduled a regular class at 8 a.m., I wouldn't make it. So I lived on campus, but took classes with nobody who lived on campus because they're mostly night classes. And I think I had maybe 2 classes. I think my earliest class was noon, you know?
Right, yeah.
And like, okay, I think I can make that. But I could see myself, Snowcone, doing the same thing. Like, thinking this time, because I'm still like that in a lot of ways. Now I'll do better.
Oh, yeah.
Now
I'll start into greatness.
Yeah, it's like when you get a paycheck. You're like, this time I won't be broke by the time the next payday comes around. You know? I'll make sure. But eventually you just go, I'm not going to wake up early in the morning and make it to these classes with no one holding me responsible.
Usually around Thursday of the week we got paid, I'm like, we don't get paid tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's usually around, I'm like, oh, boy.
Yeah, well, you mean when it's been like 1 week instead of two? Yeah, and you go, oh, yeah, that second week is it's a tough one.
Like,
it's
oh,
a tough
I should one. Learn how to match my mind.
Right.
You're going to learn fast because you don't got any.
If we'd done a little better in school, maybe, well, maybe. And those people might not do the same thing. They might not look at that second week and go, oh, boy. The Church of Laszlo. Man, I don't know if you saw this or not, but first of all, it touches on something we've talked about many times, which is this idea that 911 calls and body cam footage and that stuff gets released to the public. Right. And we've never really understood, how does that work? Does someone request it and then they just, you know, the media, if it's a celebrity, requests it and it's automatically a right that they have? It's just public domain. I think it, when we've looked it up, it sort of varies by state. But that's not the crazy part of the story. It involves Gene Hackman. And this has nothing, don't worry, this has nothing to do with, you know, investigating his death or any of that. I don't know if any of that's still going on. But there is body cam footage from when the police went to the house to do the welfare check, right? And they're walking around the house. And there's body cam footage of them finding both of them. And Gene Hackman's mother-in-law, he's 95 years old or however old he was, he had a mother-in-law. His mother-in-law does not want that footage released. So she's fighting to keep the footage released. But the thing that stood out to me was, man, a mother-in-law in your 90s. I mean, his wife was younger than him.
Right,
I get
that's a good thing.
But, and that's a sign.
I mean, you married someone a lot younger, which is good.
I know, I know. I knew you would say that. I knew you'd say that. But don't you have...
I mean, look, there are some, you know, bad parts of great things, right?
Yes.
And some, incidental consequences, is that what I'm looking for?
Sure.
But, you know, yeah, still, in the long run, better to have a mother-in-law and a young wife than to have no mother-in-law and an old wife.
I got it.
You know,
I get it.
This is an ACT test.
I get it, and I agree, but that is one of those things they don't warn you about. All these things that you worry about as you get older, you know, your health being the main thing, and then just becoming irrelevant, and all those things that people worry about. But one of the things that you don't think about is, even if you date someone who's younger than you, you know, you're lucky enough, even if you're lucky enough to date someone who's younger than you, there is that, you know, kind of unintended thing that you didn't see coming because no one warns you, and that is when you meet the parents, they get younger and younger, and eventually, depending on the age gap, like I think Gene Hackman's mother-in-law might have been two or three years younger than Gene Hackman. So, you know, that's the real moment when you meet the mother-in-law, the father-in-law, and they're actually younger than you. It's bad enough as you get older. For me, when I met Brooke's parents, I was like, boy, they seem pretty young. And then I realized, well, you know, I'm closing that gap. Each time I date someone, I seem to be closing that gap a little
bit. I like it.
You like it? I think it's so uncomfortable.
It. Yeah. Oh, I love it. Especially like if you have to go to like some sort of family event, like a brunch or something.
Oh,
that's good.
How do you like it?
When you sit down next to him and you're like, because you're like, well, okay. What are you going to tell me about my life choices? I saw that car you drove up in, Steve.
Okay, but still.
Okay.
Let
me go ahead and get brunch.
Yeah. Okay.
Save the life lesson. You know what you're not going to do is ask me questions.
So I'm guessing this has happened to you more than once.
Yeah, of course.
Where you've met someone and they're not old enough to be your parents. Like, they're just not.
They're just not.
They're just not old enough. Not that they're younger than you or anything,
right,
but just that they're not old enough to be your parents. Because
with
Brooke's parents, it's real close. But they are technically old enough to be my parents. It's just that that gap closes a little bit as you get older. I can't believe you like it. To me, it's like, especially that first time you meet, I just think that that thought is crossing both people's minds.
I love it because there's no power move from a father. Fathers always have power moves, and especially if they're 20 years older than you or 30 years older than you, and they've got all this wisdom, and let me tell you how to treat my daughter, all this other stuff. If you're the same age, you can just look at me like, dude, stop. Like, they don't even try then.
Yeah.
They don't even try.
Except for you just don't seem to have any problem with that initial awkwardness when you first meet. And you're looking at each other and going, we're not really that far apart in age because you're quite a bit older than my daughter. That doesn't bother you.
What? I mean, I'm guessing it probably bothers them. It doesn't bother me.
That's what I mean. Yeah, like it's,
well,
you know,
like, yeah, you could be in the same situation, bro. You marry a lady your same age. I'm looking at her.
You know,
well, whatever.
If you need some tips,
not my fault.
We can discuss it at brunch.
The Church of Laszlo.
So what were you like, at somebody's house last night, or what was the deal? You were sending me texts at 4 in the morning?
I was up.
Oh, just couldn't sleep? Like, you hadn't gone to sleep yet, or you woke up? You just woke up and couldn't go back to bed?
No, I woke up, you know, trying to start my day a little bit.
Oh, so you were trying to start your day?
Yeah, like at 5, somewhere around there.
Okay. Yeah, because I saw the text and I was like, wait a second, before I put it on the charger last night. And I looked at the time and it was like 4 something in the morning that you'd sent me these stories. But you sent me some stories and I thought, well.
I mean, the kids get up at 6, so if you're going to do anything.
Yeah, that, if you want to have time to
do it.
What do you like to do?
You know, watch TV. Yeah.
Cup of coffee.
Yeah.
TV.
Take some time out.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of alone time.
Yep. I know everyone likes a morning
video
routine.
Game, maybe.
Video game in the morning is good.
Yeah.
Maybe
just
not.
Pass some time.
Masturbate sometimes. You know?
Boy, it's tough, man.
In the mornings? Just because of the house?
Yeah, kids are there.
Yeah. You really can't.
Really no free time for that.
I mean, even if you had a locked bedroom.
You just can't risk them knowing.
Do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because they might know and never tell you.
Right.
You know? And you just don't need that. Mm-mm. That's tough. I mean, I would think getting caught by your kid is about 1,000 times worse than getting caught by your parent.
Oh, yeah.
Getting caught by your parent is bad enough. Yeah. But your kid, that's like therapy.
Yeah, you know,
you just can't.
Just play Fortnite. You'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. They'll leave. You know, you'll have the house at some point, eventually. So you sent me 3 different things. I'm curious which one interests you the most. There was, do you remember what you sent me?
No.
Okay, so there's the hot wifing trend.
Oh, yeah, I thought this was interesting.
Which, I've seen that thrown around a little bit. I'm not exactly sure how that's a new trend, but that's one of them. That's where, you know, you watch your wife have sex with people, and we can talk about that. The other one you sent was about that Japanese guy we've talked about in the past who married a fictional character. She's like a not real character, and he says he's having a hard time connecting with her now.
I don't remember that at all. Yeah.
Okay, and then I thought that was a weird one, but maybe you clicked the link wrong. The third one was, and I just assumed the third one was because they had announced that Sydney Sweeney's a part of that.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. And you guys read those Reddit things all the time. You're always talking about it. So
yeah.
I was like, oh, look, they took one of these stories and made it a movie.
Yeah, they've done it. So they did it with, you know, like the Slender Man. That was creepypasta or whatever.
Yeah.
That's like the first one that comes to mind. This new one, Warner Brothers, pretty big studio, picked up the rights to buy a story that was posted onto Reddit's No Sleep, which is just where people write these kind of creepy stories, scary stories, whatever. And so they paid this guy and bought the rights for it, and now they're saying Sydney Sweeney's in it. What's interesting is I remember there's been a couple of these before, or like they've tried. There was one with what's her name, the redhead, Jessica Chastain, but it wasn't Warner Brothers, it was somebody else, and they bought, I think it was No Sleep, they bought a story, but nothing ever happened. And then Ryan Reynolds bought the rights, and he might have made a movie that he didn't release or started to make a movie, but he bought one that's been a few years back too.
They based off a Twitter story.
There was one based off a Twitter story. That's right. Which one was that?
Stripper that goes
that's
down.
That's right. It's a one name.
Yeah. I keep wanting to say Nora because it's
no.
Similar
I know,
to that,
but it's like Zoe or an.
Yeah. What I'll find.
Yeah. Yeah. That one was based on a Twitter story, and they did make that into a movie. Like that actually came out.
It's
the,
good. Too.
The Jessica Chastain thing.
Zola.
I don't know. Zola. Okay.
Zola. It was A24.
Zola
was,
and Nora.
It
that,
was good.
That is confusing because they're very similar.
And
I mean, Nora's
about
a stripper.
Sex workers.
Yeah. But just imagine that you wrote one of these stories. Now, the thing that I've read about this Sydney Sweeney story is that it's about a girl who goes to somebody's house and pretends to be their long-lost kid to try and scam them, I think.
Well,
is this one?
That I don't know.
I think that's the Sydney Sweeney one, which I've seen that story kind of done before. There was the one, and I don't know if you ever saw the movie, if it's called The Gift or what it was called, but guy comes back and he says that he's a... hey, look, I served with your son who died in the military.
Right. Yeah, I do. Yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
It turns out he's, you know, bad news. And then there's also the one where the girl is adopted, a little bit different story, where she's adopted, and then it turns out she's actually an adult, and that's Orphan or whatever that was called.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And also Natalia Grace.
What was that?
The Curious Case.
Oh, well, that's
Natalia
a real
Grace.
Life story. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. That's
which
just an actual
thing.
But
the one with Angelina Jolie, too, which is based on a real story.
Okay, okay.
They had the show on Hulu now about Natalia Grace.
Dude, that Natalia Gray stuff they milked. There's like three different things about it. But imagine if you're... It's one thing if you're like an unpublished author, like the guy who wrote that Mars book and just posted it on... I think it was like an Amazon Kindle story that you could buy for like 99 cents because I don't think he had a publisher originally for that book.
Wasn't that the same with Silo? Didn't that guy...
Silo was... Yeah, that was one of those, you know, 10, 25 cent, whatever it was, a dollar book on... And it was called Wool.
And there's like three of them.
And they were on... Kindle. You could just buy them on Kindle for super cheap. Same with the Martian or whatever. And those got picked up. So I don't know what the guy who wrote the Martian made. But if you just write a story, I don't know exactly how long the No Sleep story is. But you sit down and you're like, I'm just going to write this creepy story I've been working on. Presumably it's pretty short. And then you get a call from Warner Brothers. Dude, I mean, unfortunately, right? I can't write. Otherwise, I would say.
And Sydney Sweeney's in it.
And now you got Sydney Sweeney. Now you've got something, you know? Before, you had an idea. You had a script. You had some sort of treatment, maybe. Once you've got Sydney Sweeney, you've got something.
Oh, this is a real thing.
It's a real thing. Ryan Reynolds' movie didn't come out. I'll bet Ryan Reynolds didn't have Sydney Sweeney. That's no. The problem. Whichever it was, Netflix or Hulu, the one they bought, they had Jessica Chastain.
Mm-hmm.
I know she's won an Oscar, but she's not Sydney Sweeney.
No.
You get Warner Brothers are smart.
Yes,
they're smart on this one. They're smart to get Sydney Sweeney to be the... I could see her playing that role, too. Like, she's... You know, pretending to be the long lost daughter or whatever.
She can pretend to be whoever she wants.
Exactly. And you definitely let her in the house. Yeah, that feels like a win for Warner Brothers. I heard people making fun of them because they've been struggling. Like, now they've resorted to, you know, buying scripts based on Reddit posts. And it's like, hey, man, that stuff can work, though. There's no reason that it can't.
That Zola movie was great.
People liked that. I know Slender Man wasn't so great, but I'm pretty sure when they made Slender Man, they knew, like, you know, this might not be so great. If it's a straight-up horror movie, generally speaking, they can make some money because they're such low-budget movies. But with this one being Warner Brothers and Sydney Sweeney, it might be a real movie. So that is kind of interesting. The big thing, hot wifing. That was the first thing that you sent.
Yeah.
And do you know what hot wifing is, Snow Cone? Have you heard the term before? So, you know, they say it's a new trend. At least the New York Post called it a new trend. Seems like something I've heard of before. They actually call it a bizarre new sex trend. This is where couples bring someone else into the relationship. Okay, I feel like I've heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
And then they watch someone have sex with their wife, right? And I could have swore there was a name for that before. And that's supposed to turn them on, and that's hot wifing. Wasn't there a name for the guy who sits there and watches his wife?
A cuck,
right? And something else, right? Mm-hmm. The voyeur or whatever it is. Says couples are opening up about their relationships in a new trend called hot wifing, which sees husbands watch their wives sleep with other men. They say it's kind of like letting your friend test drive your car. He gets to see how well it rides. He gets it back to you, but it creates a sense of pride. You get a little taste of what my life is like. Yeah, okay. I've heard of this before. Wasn't called hot wifing, but I've heard of people watching their wives.
Yeah, but this seemed like it was like a trend like people were going to do before they got married. Like,
yeah,
not just hey, I'd like to get into this type of relationship. This was kind of like it almost felt like they were saying, like, in the sense where, you know, there's this big leap to where, you know, people were going to live together before they got married.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, and people would say, like, oh, and they even use, like, kind of the same terminology. Like, you know, you want to take your prospective spouse for a test ride before.
Yeah.
You know, see how you live together, see if you're compatible, all these different ways. And it just felt like they were like, yeah, this is the same thing. You're just going to let your buddies bang your wife, and then, you know, you can watch and make sure she's good at it.
Right. Like, I mean, what? You'd think that you would do the Chester. I don't know. But, yeah, I guess throwing in the caveat there that this is like we're going to get married. It did seem like it was a thing that you're doing before you tie the knot. And there's a website that people are using to meet one another, which, you know, there's a website for everything sexual. But I saw somebody was talking about, in that article I think you sent, they were talking about a website that people use to, like, all kinds of things. They'll try and use it to become porn stars and other things, but people are using it to meet people so they can have guys. Some of them have more than one guy, right? They might have a couple guys come over if you really want to see the test drive. They say, it'll be really, this one woman who did it said, it'll be really cool for him to see me with two other hot guys just living my best life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Well, one man named Alex admitted that he never tried kinky acts until he met Rebecca, his now wife. Now the married couple are into hot wifing, and Alex can witness his fantasy of a wife with two other men at one time. Yeah, you can. You know, it's not hard to find guys who will volunteer to do that.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it's not something you bring up at the water cooler at work. I get a website's probably good, but I don't think it would take too long for you to find someone who's willing. So it's just. That whole idea, I don't know where it comes from. Who knows where these kinks and fetishes come from our youth or whatever. But I never thought, oh, yeah, that sounds hot. Like sitting in the closet, you know, and secretly watching my significant other have sex with a dude. Some of those things that you hear different guys do. Just the watching thing in general. I don't know.
Yeah.
You think it sounds...
Yeah, I could, you know, like I said, man,
I'm not
I don't
against
anything.
It. I'm not exactly. I'm not against it.
Yeah.
I just never thought...
I'd try it.
I wish my wife would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's something
A lot of things are probably better said.
Yes.
right? So, like, you know, you're having sex with your fiance, and you're like, I'd like to watch you do this with so-and-so and this and that, right?
Yeah.
But then if it actually came time to do it, it probably would be... It's like anything else. Most things are probably left better as, like, talk and a fantasy, as opposed to actually implementing said fantasy.
With exceptions. There are, of course, exceptions. And we talked about that. I know some people say that about threesomes. I think threesomes can live up to the fantasy, or at least be good. I see all these people say they're not good. It's only good as a fantasy. Doing it is awkward. It's terrible. It's no fun. Doesn't have to be awkward, terrible, no fun. No. Maybe it is even better as a fantasy, which could probably be said about...
Sure.
I guess you're right, all those things. But I do think threesomes can be...
Of course.
Good, but for a lot of people, they report that...
I'm sure it can
lockdown.
Be, but I'm guessing most of it is still probably, when implemented, much harder and awkward.
Well, yeah, and I see people say that online a lot, and there's a lot of people that agree, especially talking about threesomes, where they say, it's awkward, we tried it, it's no fun. So I know it's not a rare occurrence that someone has a threesome and decides that wasn't as fun as I thought it was going to be. I'm just saying... You don't have to give up, or you don't have to say, I'll never try that, just because other people say it's no fun. It can be fun. As far as watching your wife or whatever, I don't know. I've never done it. I mean, and it's the kind of thing, too, that if I have a buddy who's into it, I don't think he would talk to me about it. So I don't know if I've met someone who's into that, but I've never heard anybody talk about it. Like, you know, I'll tell you what I'm into. I just like to have her... I've seen it in plenty of movies, but I don't think it's that odd. I don't think that I've ever met anyone in person. Oh, it seems like it's a fairly common thing, at least...
Yeah.
Cuckolding, whatever it's called, right?
You know, snow cone over there.
Cuck king. Could I see snow cone being into it?
What are you talking about?
Could I see snow cone being into that? Yes. I think of the three of us, I could see. I don't know why. I don't know what it is about the stuff that we've talked about with him many times in the past. Kind of his.
Yeah, people are saying they can hear you lying, man.
About what? Cuckold?
Yeah, like you're lying to your teeth.
Like, what's the word?
Yeah, I just never really even thought of, that's just not...
Yeah,
I don't know Shakespeare, but he who don't protest too much. Like,
yeah, cuckolding. And it's from Shakespeare. It's a Shakespeare word. Cuckolding.
I thought that there was a different name for watching someone... Watching your significant other have sex. But you guys have told me many times it's cucking or cuckolding. So.
Yeah, and I think they talk to you while they're doing it. Like, you like watching me do this?
Ah, okay.
I don't think you hide in the closet.
I thought that, like, cuckolding was, or being a cuck was just, like, in general, if she's belittling you, are you, even if there's not another guy there having sex, are you still being a cuck if she's calling you a loser and talking about your small wiener?
No.
No, that's not a cuck?
No.
Okay. All right. I'm not trying to protest too much. I'm just asking.
Okay.
I'm telling you I haven't tried it,
okay.
But... You know, the idea of seeing another guy, I can't be the only one. The idea of seeing another guy, I don't like that idea.
You keep saying it over and over again, which is leading us all to believe that you love it. You sound like the guy who's like, look, you know, people could do whatever they want, but me as a religious fella, I'm just not into gay sex. Right. And at that moment, everybody goes, dude's way into gay sex. Same thing with you. You're like, look, how do you say it? I can't remember the word again. Is it cuckolding, 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 how do you say it? It's, I don't know. Does that mean, like, they talk to you and be like, boy, I just, the definitions get all crazy with me. I know I have 18 gigs of porno and watch it all the time, but this cuckolding thing really just, like, I've never, you know, I don't really know how it works. Like, Jesus Christ, dude, okay, you like it.
As the kids say, you're doing too much.
You called me a cuck a million times on the air, and so I didn't know that that meant that I am someone who likes to watch my
significant
other. I'm done.
The Church of Laszlo. Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51.
And the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Yo.
Well, the news. Richard Sherman, did you guys see the stuff that he posted or see the story about Richard Sherman? You know, there's been these... celebrity break-ins, especially celebrity athletes whose homes have been broken into, and it looks like we can add Richard Sherman to the list. But this was a kind of unique case because there were quite a few guys involved. I don't know how many guys were involved in those previous cases, so maybe that part's the same. But they definitely had guns. There's video, although these guys' faces are mostly covered. It's dark, so it's kind of using that like night vision filter. You can't really make out who these people are. But at least one of them has a gun in his hand, and Richard Sherman's family was home when this happened. So that makes it extra scary. Sure.
Three hooded men smash through a window carrying what appears to be duffel bags. Video supplemented by chilling images that would haunt any parent. One showing a person inside the house wearing a jacket and holding what appears to be a handgun. A second with two intruders in one of the rooms. Sherman writing on X, "House being robbed at gunpoint with my family in it isn't what anyone wants for a birthday gift. Scary situation that my wife handled masterfully and kept my kids safe."
Yeah, so he joins that long list now of, getting longer at least, of pro athletes whose houses have been burglarized. I don't think in any of the other cases the family was home. There was one, maybe it was Burrow, where his housekeeper or assistant was home and called 911. But usually the whole point of this, we thought, was that they're doing it because...
I don't know how you would keep Richard Sherman's kid. It just exactly. Like NFL Network. I don't know.
So is it just coincidental? You know what I mean? Just a rich guy in L.A. and maybe break-ins are on the rise. But what do you do if you're home with the kids and someone comes in with a gun? I mean, in that moment, probably the scariest moment of your life, depending, you know, if you're an average person, that would be the scariest moment of your life. And then what do you do to protect your kids in that moment? You got to do everything that they say up to a certain point. I don't know at what point you go, okay, you know, when they start, if they start trying to separate you, you hear these stories about burglars coming
at
in and they tie you up.
At some point you have to attack because you got to figure they're not going to just let you go.
Yeah, if they start tying you up and separating you and... Oh, man, when your kids are there...
You got to try.
You got to try. I mean, at first you do what they say. They got the gun, right?
So they just start taking your stuff and say, go in a room together. And,
And
you start trying to figure it out. But if it's going south quick, then you got to try.
Once they're like, okay, this one's going to get in the car with me, you're going to get... No.
Anything.
No.
Anything.
I'm not getting in the car with you.
Stop stealing things and start talking and pointing at you, then you have to attack.
Yeah.
You have to, because it's not, I can't imagine it's going to end fine.
God, that seems like such a horrible, who was it that had the, I think it was Bun B or one of those rappers that had his house burglarized, and was he home? I think he was home and his wife was home. He ended up shooting I don't know if it was one guy or two guys, obviously I don't remember much of it, but he shot and killed an intruder and went to court and all that, and they said he was justified. I mean, look. I know Laszlo's not a gun guy, but in that moment, if someone comes in the house and they've got a gun on you, if you had a gun, that would be the moment to use it. And if they've got a gun, you've got a gun, are you thinking, now I'm not going to do what they say because I'm going to shoot at them?
Yeah, if they're in my
pretend
house.
Pretend like I don't have a gun.
I'm not taking that risk.
Oh, wait, okay. So even though they tell you...
I'm not waiting to see what happens.
Yeah.
If you come in my house, you break in, and you have a gun, and you're stealing stuff... Then, I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you got to. Maybe pretend at first like I'm going along with this. If I can get that gun secretively to where you don't know that I have it, I think I got to take my chances and try shooting at you. I know. I think the cops say you're supposed to do everything that they say unless certain things happen, like trying to drive you somewhere or whatever. But, man, if they've got a gun and I've got a gun,
you gotta try.
I'm going to take my chances. Tomorrow's the big Liberation Day, the announcement in the Rose Garden about these tariffs. We do know that the car thing is supposed to go through on Thursday. That seems like pretty big news, the 25% tariff on imported cars. And then also,
I heard you're going to be really mad because there's a cuck tax. So.
Yeah.
30% cuck tax.
That'll kill me. I won't be able to afford to buy anything. Yeah. I mean, if it's all cucks, anything a cuck buys...
No, just, for your cuck sessions. 30%
oh, for
tax.
The session specifically. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it might still be worth it. We'll see what happens. But the car thing, for the actual cars, that's supposed to go into effect a couple days. The parts thing, which is where it really gets tricky, that's supposed to go into effect. I think he gave them to like the end of May.
This morning, just one day away from a major escalation in the president's ongoing trade wars. President Trump expected to unveil a package of, quote, reciprocal tariffs on allies and adversaries alike worldwide. The uncertainty leaving businesses and buyers guessing at what the president has suggested will be a massive reordering of American trade. One of the few tariffs detailed by the White House is the 25% levy on imported vehicles beginning Thursday and on auto parts by May 3rd.
So there's this thought that, like, all right, well, if I buy American, then hopefully those prices wouldn't go up as much because they wouldn't have had to pay all those tariffs. The problem is as we know, a lot of American cars are made in Mexico or Canada, or at least partially. And when you talk about parts, now you've got a real problem because a lot of parts are definitely crossing the border. And I told you guys a few weeks ago there was some newspaper that they went around it. They followed one part. I don't remember what the car part was. They wanted to see how many times it crossed the border.
It was like way more than you would think.
It crossed the border like 20-some times. But I saw NBC News did almost the exact same thing, or at least they talked to someone about how many times. They really just wanted to find out, is there a car that's totally built in America? Like, what's the closest thing? Is there a Ford or a GM? Lots of Hondas and Toyotas are made in America. But what about, we know that they import parts. That sort of makes sense to Japanese car companies. What about an American car company? Do they have a car that's made here with American parts? The answer is really no.
I was just on the phone yesterday with a Canadian parts manufacturer that was saying for the same part that he sells to an automaker like GM, it'll get tariffed 25%. Four times, because that's how many times it crosses the border between Windsor, Ontario, and Detroit, Michigan. So again, it's just a reminder that there's no American car that's 100% made in the United States.
No American car 100% made in the United States, he said. So four times for that. You know, that was just the first guy that he called, whatever. He said, yeah, I've got a part that crosses the border four times. I think it was the Wall Street Journal, the other one, where they talked about it crossing the border like 20 times. But if you are thinking, I'd like to buy a car, and you're thinking that you'd like to buy a new car, now might be the time to do it. I don't know. I don't know if the prices have actually gone up yet or not. I haven't read that they have. It's all this, will prices go up? They'll probably go up. But I think if you've been thinking about getting a new car,
yeah, now you should do it now, today.
Probably hurry up. Yeah, today. Like go today. I wish I knew what car dealership I'm supposed to tell you to go to. But just, you know, make haste, as they say. Karen Reed, remember her? She's the balloon knot woman.
Oh, yeah,
if you don't know
her.
Why we call her balloon knot.
Because she's got a leaky anus.
Karen Reed, she's a boss woman. She's accused of running over her boyfriend and killing him. He was a Boston cop. And there's been a lot of media coverage about this. It became a big national story.
There's a documentary on Max or something.
New documentary about the trial on Max. And yeah, the first trial ended in a hung jury. During that first trial, there were some really crazy moments, including a moment where Karen Reed's defense attorney had one of the state troopers on the stand and asked him to read some of the text messages that this state trooper had exchanged with other people. And he's talking about how, you know, she's hot, but I haven't got any nudes yet. And then he starts talking about how she's got a leaky balloon knot because she's got Crohn's or something. Yeah. I don't remember what they said it was. But he was making fun of her butt and saying that she had a leaky balloon knot. So that's why we call her leaky balloon knot, if you're curious. Anyhow, jury selection is going on right now for the new Karen Reed trial. I know Crunchberry on our Twitch feed here, twitch.tv/Church of Lazo, probably very excited about this. Did either one of you watch any of the Karen Reed stuff? If not, the Max documentary, one, like a Dateline or something. I was just curious if what your guys thought in so far as her guilt is.
I have no idea. I didn't watch any of it.
I feel like she probably hit him. Like, almost certainly hit him. But the fact that they charged her with second-degree murder seems kind of crazy. Also, the prosecutor in the first trial, man, was he something. Slow motion, super dull. So they did get a new prosecutor this time around.
This morning in Massachusetts, jury selection begins. Karen Reed on trial again for murder in a case that captured national attention, fueling demonstrations on both sides.
I don't know who did it. All we say is Karen Reed didn't do it.
Reed supporters rallying over the weekend ahead of round two. A new prosecutor will argue she killed her boyfriend, Boston police officer John O'Keefe, in 2022 after a night of drinking.
Okay, I will tell you this, Lazo. In that documentary, the one interesting thing that I didn't know, I knew it when it became a national story because I don't live in Massachusetts, right? And they talk about the fact that, you know, this was basically a local story until this guy, the social media star named Turtle Boy, decided.
Turtle Boy.
Yeah. You can't stop laughing. Like, they keep talking about it, and they say it with such seriousness.
Turtle Boy?
Yeah, so then Turtle Boy. And he's a grown man. It's not the kid who said, I like turtles, from what I can tell.
So what is Turtle Boy?
Turtle Boy is a former, I think they say he's like, used to be a high school teacher, and now he's like, I guess, kind of a true crime guy, and he's got a big social media following. And he decided that the Boston police were conspiring against Karen Reed, right? That this was a hit job because her boyfriend was a cop, and that they were going to come after her and they were going to plant false evidence and do all this stuff. And he's so popular on social media, they said that all of these Karen Reed supporters that were showing up that you see on TV with the pink shirts and the signs and all that, it was all because of Turtle Boy. So if not for Turtle Boy, they made it sound like we would not even know potentially even know who Karen Reed is. That was a regional story. Turtle Boy. He's way popular.
But how many followers does Turtle Boy have?
I looked when I was watching the documentary. Now I can't remember, but he's got a lot. He's got a lot.
Like millions?
I don't know if I don't think it was millions, but it might have been. It was a lot. He's got enough that all these people showed up and decided, oh my gosh, Karen Reed is being railroaded. It's a conspiracy by the Boston Police Department.
Man, X was
and yeah, I think that's mostly what he used. But I just saw a lot of clips of him and a couple of brief clips that he had posted on social media, and a couple of interviews that the local news did with him up there. But yeah. Turtle Boy, the reason that she's got all of this support. So there you go.
The Church of Laszlo.
Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
The JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51,
and the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Yo!
Yo!
What's going on?
We're finishing the news. So the doctor in Hawaii who's accused of trying to kill his wife, there's more information now out about this because she survived and she has petitioned for a restraining order, which I would think that they would grant her pretty easily after what's happened. But if you don't know the story, we talked about it a little bit last week. This anesthesiologist in Hawaii went hiking with his wife. They think that he was trying to throw his wife over a cliff. He also struck his wife in the head with a boulder, something like that.
Okay.
Oh, here, you need this one? Didn't mean to have you walk all the way over here. There you go.
This one too.
So what are the names here? Gerhard Koenig, 46. He's been charged with attempted second-degree murder.
Okay.
And she's now released this information, or, you know, they've now released this information because she's filed for this restraining order. So we have more details about what actually happened that day, and it sounds like their relationship wasn't going so well. There had been some accusations of cheating, which had led to what she says is extreme jealousy. They were having a lot of problems. They tried marriage counseling and all that. And then, like, as a birthday gift, he planned this trip to go hiking, which she was suspicious of this from the get-go. Once she got there on the actual trails with him, things she could tell were just not right, and she really wanted to get out of there. But by then, it was too late. He tried to throw her off a cliff. She sat down on the ground, so it'd be harder for him to get her off the cliff, so he couldn't push her. And that's when he hit her in the head with a rock.
Ariel saying that in December, Koenig accused her of cheating on him, leading to extreme jealousy on his part. The court document then going on to detail what she remembers of that day, explaining that Koenig planned the trip to celebrate her birthday. During the hike, I became uneasy and informed Gerhard that I did not want to continue. A short time later, he grabbed me by the upper arms and started pushing me back towards the cliff edge, about a 1,200-foot drop, as he yelled, "Get back over there. I'm so sick of you," and continued to push me.
You know, you'd think if he planned on pushing her off the cliff, like if that was his plan when he took her out there, that he'd be kind of kissing her ass. Because it sounds to me like they're not getting along. Why bicker and run the risk of her saying, I'm out of here? Yeah, you just can't stop.
Just can't.
It's that bad.
God, I knew I was going to kill you when we got here.
Can't help it. And then she's like, you know what? I'm leaving.
At some point, I thought, maybe you would change my mind.
Yep. And she's like, I'm leaving. I'm uncomfortable. And that's when he's like, no, you can't leave. The whole plan is to get over here. And tries dragging her off the cliff. She's not close enough to the cliff's edge. So he starts hitting her in the head with the rock. And last week when we first talked about it, I said, they talked about how there was a short manhunt for this guy. They had helicopters out and everything, and eventually there was a chase on foot where they caught this guy. But I'd wondered if someone had interrupted his plan, if it was his plan to push her off a cliff, if someone interrupted them. And I don't know that they interrupted his plan, but there were some other hikers that heard her screaming for help, and they started to come that way. So the reason he ran off before he could, you know, finish the job, for lack of better term there, was because these other hikers showed up. So it sounds to me like these women or whatever they were, these other people, they walk up, they say, we hear you, we're coming. And he's hit her in the head with a rock, and now he's like, damn it, there's people coming. So he runs off on foot. So, you know, attempted second-degree murder. I don't know what kind of trouble you get in for that. It's
probably
a lot.
Seems like something you shouldn't do.
You shouldn't do it. I would think you'd get in a lot less trouble than if she died.
Well,
it's weird how that works, you know? Mm-hmm. We've talked about that.
Consequences.
Right, I know. It's just like when you get the DWI and no one's hurt versus when somebody is hurt. You didn't do anything different than the person who didn't hurt anybody.
The outcome was different.
But the outcome was very different, and, you know, that's the way it goes. I told you guys about this Wisconsin teen. I don't think we talked about him in the air, but I told you.
By the way, guys, don't have to kill anybody.
Yeah, just get
a
divorce.
You don't have to hit anybody. You don't have to do anything. You just leave.
Yeah, just get a divorce.
You're not in some sort of lobster trap.
Right, exactly.
You literally can just leave.
I mean, it's possible that this guy would have said, it's not about the divorce now. I'm so angry that she cheated on me.
Yeah, but what I'm telling you is that if you just leave, you'll no longer be angry eventually. Yeah. Like, you will. You just won't care.
Yeah. And it is possible that they just weren't. That they also just weren't getting along. That they were just to that point where they were fighting about everything.
Just leave.
You know, maybe he had some sort of evidence that she cheated and she was denying. I don't know what it was, but the point is, it didn't have to end that way. Did not have to end the way that it did.
You can leave. Literally leave.
You don't even have to hire
an attorney. People do it every day.
Yeah, and he's an anesthesiologist. He's got to make decent money.
Of course.
And I know maybe you're worried about it costing you money. Yeah, well,
it's going to.
Now you're going to prison.
But let me tell you, it's worth it.
Yeah.
And now, right, now all you have is canteen money.
Exactly.
Like, don't do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Just get out. Just get out. This Wisconsin teenager, 17 to be exact, is accused of killing his mother and stepfather. Now, this was a crazy story because when I told you guys about it, they had just arrested him in Kansas. What happened was, in some small town, Kansas, that I'd never heard of before, he got pulled over for some sort of a regular routine traffic stop. And when the cops in Kansas pulled him over, they could see a gun sitting on the floor in front of the passenger seat. A 357 was just sitting there in plain view. And so then they're like, all right, we're going to search the car. This kid didn't have a driver's license, had never had one. So, of course, I'm assuming at that point, yeah, they have every right to search the car. They probably don't need a warrant then. They start searching the car. They find stuff in the car, like a bunch of valuables. I'm just picturing jewelry and things like that that he had taken from his parents' house. But it was valuables worth at least $10,000, they said. They said slightly over $10,000. And he also had driver's licenses for his mom and his stepdad. So the whole thing, they're very confused. So the cops in Kansas, they phone back to Wisconsin like, hey, do you know anything about this kid? Well, the very same day that he got pulled over in Kansas for the traffic violation was the day that police in his hometown in Wisconsin had gone to his house for a welfare check and discovered the bodies of his mother and stepfather, both shot to death, decomposed beyond all recognition. They had to use, like, I don't know if they used DNA or dental records or what, but they could not be recognized by sight because they decomposed that much. And the reason that they had gone out there for the welfare check was because some associates and friends of the mom and the stepdad had been getting really weird messages from them. Like, you know, the stepdad was sending messages to his work, and the coworkers thought that the messages sounded weird. And there were messages being sent on the computer, so I assume different social media apps, things like that. And also, it looks like he was trying to communicate with the school. I don't know how it works now with when you have kids in school, but is there some sort of portal you can use on the computer to talk to the school where you don't have to actually pick up the phone? It sounded like maybe he was trying to do that, but the school eventually got suspicious, too. So they're all suspicious, and eventually someone says, welfare check. Well, they find these bodies, and they now believe that this kid killed his parents, mom and stepdad, and then lived with those bodies in the house for weeks, covered their bodies with blankets, lit some candles. Also, apparently, there was some security cameras. I don't know. Maybe they were inside the house. I know a lot of people do that. But I read in the story they were talking about reviewing some of this footage, and they were able to see what he was doing. So they must have had cameras in the house. But it sounds like he was also videotaping himself on his phone. And I don't know if they got a hold of that as well, or if they can just see that he's videotaping and taking pictures on his phone, but doing weird stuff around the house, as if it's not already weird to
shoot
and kill your parents. But I mean, to live with them for, it was a little over 2 weeks, maybe 2 weeks and a day, something like that. He'd just gone on the run, they think, not that long before he got caught. He'd made it a long way, I mean, 800 miles or so before he got caught, but he hadn't been on the run too terribly long.
The 17-year-old is accused of killing his mom and his stepdad. More than a month ago, he shot his mom in an upstairs hallway, his stepdad in an office. He left the bodies where they died. Then Kessup lived in the house for nearly 2 weeks before he fled. Police found a camera memory card that showed about a week after the murder, Kessup was lighting candles in the office where his stepdad's body was sitting and recording the dead body. Police say at one point, Kessup stood next to his stepdad's body with his phone out as if taking pictures.
A selfie.
All while videoing himself with another camera.
Yeah, and it sounds like he was sending those pictures to somebody because one of the people who had, and it's not clear which one specifically had requested the welfare check, but one of the things that was odd was that a classmate of his, this girl was getting messages from him, and he talked about how he wanted to kill his parents, but then said, like, oh, I don't have a gun, I'm kidding, I'm not going to kill my parents. But then started sending her really gruesome pictures, and they don't say what those gruesome pictures are, but I assume based on this that he was sending pictures of his parents' bodies or his stepdad's body to this girl. I don't know. Also, there's talk that he was communicating with someone in Russia about this. It always comes back to Russia, right? Yeah, that he was communicating with someone in Russia about all of this, and that there were also plans, whether or not this was, you know, more than just him talking, if someone else was involved, but at least he had talked about having plans of wanting to assassinate President Trump. So, okay. And then that's what he was talking to the person, and one of the things he was talking to the person in Russia about. The investigators did find messages on the phone where he's talking to this person in Russia, and then they found the other messages too, where he's like where he's talking to the girl and sending the gruesome photos and all that. I mean, 17 years old. I don't need to tell you this, but there's something seriously wrong with this kid. But in all honesty, what would you do in this scenario? You got to say he's a kid. He's a kid. It reminds me of that Netflix thing a little bit. You know, he kind of the adolescence. I'm reminded of that a little bit just because. That kid
was 13.
Yeah, I know. He was younger. But, man, this kid looks so young. He's all pimple-faced and just, you know, he's not an adult yet. Some 17-year-olds look grown up.
Yeah, I guess. He's taking selfies with the body, though.
I know. He's messed up.
He needs help.
He's messed up. But I'm saying, do you just lock him up and throw away the key? With a 17-year-old, you send him to prison, and then he does some sort of psychiatric hospital where he's forced to stay, something like that. Can he be rehabilitated? Boy.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not a doctor.
Right.
But if you told me
I'd leave that to the doctor.
If you told me he's been well behaved for the last 30 years, I'd still be like, I don't want him living next door to me.
Right.
I don't know what snaps that causes you to do that, but it's more than just he was influenced by movies and video games. You know what I mean? There's something else going on there. There's no amount of movies and video games that would make a 17-year-old
and to live with the bodies and to take selfies with it.
Just lighting candles and taking videos and pictures and
right. It sounded like he got real pissed at his parents. I'm not saying every time. It sounded like he got real pissed at his parents, shot him, and then, you know, got caught or whatever, ran away.
Yeah, he decided to run just before he got caught.
You know,
I wonder who it was. I just imagine that it was with the stepdad, but he had to kill the mom to get to the stepdad. You know, who knows? I don't know yet. Maybe we won't find out. But I'm very curious what that very temporary problem was that he had with his parents.
He's 17, you're going to leave in a year, bro.
I know.
Same thing. You're going to leave in a year.
Almost over. Although, I don't know if he could leave in a year. I don't know if he had a job, if he can hold down a job.
You can leave in a year. You can figure it out.
But you could get out of there. Hell, at 17,
you
could probably leave. I mean, you left the country.
I did.
Join the military.
Warship. Yeah. They say, you know, that'll give you purpose. Can you still do that at 17 with the parents' permission?
Probably.
I'm guessing if you're the kind of kid who would shoot both of your parents, that if he had asked his parents before they died, will you allow me to sign up for the military, they probably would have said yes.
The Church of Laszlo.
There's a new way to find love.
To fund it or find it?
Find it. And, you know, I think they've nailed it. I can't believe someone didn't think of this sooner. It's a dating app. There's plenty of dating apps, but this one. Did you see anything about a new dating app today?
No.
Oh, real quick, though. We'll talk about that in a minute. But real quick, yesterday we were talking about the torpedo bat. The Yankees are using. They're already for sale?
I saw some advertised today. Get them, like, by four, you know, like I said, travel ball kids. Wood torpedo bats, $200. They'll be custom made for you in 10 to 12 days on, like, the Victus and the Marucci website and stuff.
Are they the real deal?
Yeah.
Like, they're the thing that that guy came up with?
Yeah, those are companies that make real bats.
I almost asked, like, how many companies are, like, what is Louisville Slugger? Like, that's what I think of as a baseball bat.
Yeah.
The wooden bat.
Is that what pros use? Is, like, just that brand? There are multiple brands?
There's multiple brands.
Okay.
But they'll still use Louisville Sluggers,
like,
right?
Nike? Nike
made some bats for a while, but I think they've kind of gotten out of it. Adidas made some, too.
Okay.
But more, there's, like, Marucci, Easton, right? You know, Easton, they make them.
Yeah, what's, like, the most common one? Is it Louisville Slugger still?
No.
In the MLB? I don't know.
Marucci, probably.
Okay.
But this one that's that you're talking about, what that guy Aaron
DeMarini, I mean, there's a lot of
the guy that came up with this. Yeah, can he sell the patent or does
that's
he,
what I was wondering?
Does he sell his own?
Aaron, they call him Lenny, but his name's like Aaron Lindhart or something like that. Okay. I heard an interview with him because there's been all this talk with the Yankees hitting all those home runs. They talked to him, I think, yesterday afternoon, and you know he was just. Saying exactly what you'd expect. He's an MIT guy who created a baseball bat. But I didn't know that there was criticism, because I saw criticism from people like Portnoy, and I saw somebody, I don't remember who it was, somebody on ESPN talking about how it's, you know, we need more time to study this thing. Hold on, here's the clip of the guy who created it, Lenny, but his real name's Aaron Lindhart, but they call him Lenny, talking about it. And then I think at the end of this, I included the clips of people complaining.
The world of data analytics, physics, math, et cetera, can have such a positive impact on the game of baseball and generate so much excitement. It just takes time for guys to get comfortable with it, time for guys to tweak the designs to their liking. These guys have very dialed-in swings, and they're very in tune with their own equipment. And if version 0.0 is good but not good enough for them, then we try version 1.0, 2.0.
But this is like Mounjaro, one of those drugs that there's so little time to study.
You got to get rid of the torpedo bat. It's unfair to the pitchers. It's stupid for the game.
That was Portnoy there at the end. Just the criticism, I don't know, I'm a little surprised. I'm not. It's baseball, so I get it.
And, I heard a pitcher say, you know what, let him use a torpedo bat. But, and they had a good point, and it was like, you see the guy spraying their hands for grip, right? And the pitcher was like, just let us use that on the mound.
Yeah.
Why do you have to check us every time we walk off the field to see if we're using anything sticky? And you're out there in front of everybody spraying something sticky on your hands, which I'm guessing helps you hit better.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, he makes a good point.
I think it might have been Portnoy. One of them was saying that you got to give the pitchers, it's not fair to the pitchers, that you should give them time to, I guess, you know, get a look at hitters using this bat and figure out ways to get around this bat instead of just all of a sudden showing up with it. But if it follows the rules, and I don't know. I'm not surprised, like I said, because it is baseball, so someone's going to be upset. But it feels like it's not this big crazy change. It's a bat that's shaped slightly different.
It changes a lot, though.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's helping. I understand pitchers being upset, but to the fans and to the sports analysts, this is exciting for the game.
Okay. Yes, I get it, but just to play devil's advocate, you wouldn't want them up there with a racket.
Right, I get it. I know.
Or a flat bat, if they just said it's flat.
It doesn't seem different to me. It is a new way. I mean, it is, they've moved the weight. You can tell the bulge of the bat has been shifted slightly. And I don't know if they're all shaped the same or not. That's not clear to me, because when they talk about them being custom made, I don't know if that means that you can also customize where you shift that weight. I know that the picture that they've shown online, they act like this is what a torpedo bat looks like, and that's that. So maybe they all look the same, and the customization comes into the grip or something when you're having a guy, you know, order one custom. Maybe that's what it is. I'm surprised it's only a couple $100.
Yeah, it was $200, I think, and they get it made in 10 to 12 days.
I would have thought 400 to 600.
Well, wood bats are cheaper.
I know, but with this thing being brand new, and
but still
just
a wood bat, you can get a good wood bat for, you know, well, it's not that much more.
Okay.
Than a regular wood bat. This torpedo bat. You're right. They probably could ask a lot more, but a wood bat in some ways is a wood bat.
Yeah, they don't last forever. You can crack a bat, all those things.
And there's only so much power you can get out of it.
But is this guy, because he was an MIT physicist, and then he became a hitting coach for the minor leagues?
Yeah, okay.
Something like that. Doing something in the minor leagues. Will this be his big payday? Like, I don't know if this guy's already rich, but if he's not,
know.
I wonder if this thing will make him rich.
Patent laws. I don't know, you know, is there a way to patent it?
Because it is already following the rules of the bat that the MLB gives you. It's already the right dimensions and everything. So have you changed it enough to get a patent?
I don't know.
Let's say that you could patent. Let's say that he did patent.
Yeah, then he made a mint because, you know, Marucci, who also makes Victus, is already selling it.
Okay.
So if they had to pay him for it, then they already did.
Yeah. You going to get your kid one?
Did they ever use wooden bats? I was looking. They do have, like, wood bat tournaments.
Okay.
So, yeah. You use metal bats all the way. See, I don't know that people will buy them, and there will be wood bat tournaments. There's not that many. And I can't believe that the torpedo bat would give you an advantage over a metal bat.
Right, no.
You see what I'm saying?
But could
it doesn't matter, but there's like this USSA bat, right? And that's for kids below high school. And those can be like drop tens. So just in a very simple way, see, you swing a 33-ounce bat. It's long, right? But the weight is drop 10, so it's actually 23, right? And then there's all these different bats that they test that are made, and there will be, on those bats, a huge difference in exit velo. A Hypefire, you know, they've tested, it's gotten to like 110 hitting a ball. And then other ones, you buy a cheap one, it's like 90. So there's a big, and you say 5 miles per hour, 3 to 5 miles per hour exit velo, all right? Mm-hmm. That's the
exit velocity the,
right, off the bat, is about 15 to 20 feet. So if you're talking the difference between 10 and 15 miles or even 10 miles and off it, you're talking a 150-foot difference.
Yeah.
Right? And then once you get into high school, they go to a different bat. You're not allowed to use those anymore. And they go to BB Core. You're not allowed to use wood, and you have to use this other bat. And this other bat is made out of metal, but it has like this, it's like a 0.5 differential rate. I don't know what all that means, but it is made to act like a wood bat. Only it's made out of metal, so it's not breaking. You're not
swing of things.
And so that, you know, you're not hitting 125 miles an hour at a pitcher's head, right? Because people were getting hurt.
Okay.
So they made it more like a wood bat. I can't believe that. And then the difference about between like that BB Core bat, they say, and an actual wood bat hit by the same person is about 3 miles per hour.
It's close.
It's close.
It's really close.
So 15, right? So but, 15 to 20 feet difference. So I don't know so I don't know if you were playing in high school, if you would go to a wood bat with a torpedo, because I don't think it'll make up the difference.
But could you take the same idea, the way that they...
Right behind us. There you go.
Yeah, the way that they change the shape of the bat, could you implement that in a metal bat?
You probably
were
going
to make the...
Right, that's what I was saying. Like, so I don't know if they're going to do it, but I'm sure they could.
Yeah, I would assume so.
The Church of Laszlo.
Well, Laszlo, you know, you got two teenagers at home.
I do.
The oldest is about to be a senior, mm-hmm. which means, you know, college is not too far away.
Nah.
And the youngest, you know, just be a few years behind him.
Yeah.
Because he's getting ready to start high school? Oh, that's right. He's starting high school. So they'll both be in high school. And then, presumably, when you go to college, it could cost you some money. Parents have to, but parents worry about paying for school at the very least. Co-signing for some student loans, but generally speaking, you're taking out money, you're trying to figure out how you can spend 401k money or whatever you're going to do. You're selling the house and saying, listen, I'm going to live in this apartment so that you guys can go to school, whatever it is. But the idea is they go to school and they go get a job and then they're off and, you know, hopefully you've done a good job. The truth is a lot of kids don't move out at 18 a lot of them don't stay moved out at 18. The age of leaving for good, leaving the nest for good, has continued to get older and older and older. I know you were gone by 17 because you were in the military and you never went back. That was
I went back for like a week.
Like barely even visited. Yeah.
And my dad came in my room and there was a girl in there.
And you just decided.
In the morning, they're just both laying there. And so he was like, oh, hi. And then he went downstairs and then, like later that day, he's like, hey, look, I know you're a man, but, you know, your mom's freaking out. And so I called my buddy. I was like, yo. He was like, yeah, come and move in with me. So it was literally a week.
Yeah. You know, you always think, like, if your parents are around, at least one of them, if something were to happen, you know, I suppose I could crash with my parents for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when we lived in Seattle, I came back for a wedding. And, you know, at that point, I was, like, maybe 24 or something. So I'd been out of the house for, like, 5 years. But, and I'd always had that thought. If anything ever happens, I could go back with my parents. I was just staying with them while I was in town for this wedding. And I remember being in that house and, like, I was hungry, wanted a snack. But I didn't know which food was, like, for my dad's lunches. And I needed to be quiet because my parents were asleep and I wanted to watch TV. And I thought, man, this is my first night here. And I love my parents, but this is awful. Like, I can't. That idea of, like, you can move back if you need to. No, you can't. Because it's not like, you just have to deal with the embarrassment. It's that you have to completely change what you're doing. You can't have the woman in your bedroom.
Easier for you now.
Yeah, way easier now.
Right.
But in your 20s, it's like, no.
Tough, man.
Now I think I could do
it. I don't
know.
What's it like, Snoko?
Yeah, not great.
I feel like now I could do it. Now I really feel like it would be much better than at 24.
But they'd still get on your nerves.
Of course they would. It wouldn't be ideal. No. I'm not like, gee, I wish I lived with my mom.
Right.
But I do think it would be way better than at 24. But at what age would you expect?
Do you think Snoko's mom's boyfriend's mom's boyfriend, singular, comes over and they like start making out, and she's like, "Shh, my kid's in the basement."
Oh,
he's like, "Jesus Christ, he's 40.
I'm there taking care of her. I think he's grateful for me."
Yeah, he's like,
he appreciates
God,
the extra hand, right?
He appreciates me helping.
Helping
oh my God, he's got to be like Jesus.
It's hard to say goodbye to that place.
Me, you know, stuff
we've been dating. I've been dating you forever now. You got to be quiet. Your kid's downstairs.
They're not quiet.
Right.
They're not quiet.
Just crazy to think.
Yeah. I mean, and look, make it happen.
I mean, because your mom's not doing that, and my mom's not doing that, but his mom has a boyfriend.
Right.
Your mom doesn't have a boyfriend. My mom doesn't have a boyfriend. So it would be like, but her boyfriend comes over.
Yeah.
And look, whether you want to admit it or not, he's at some point he wants some action. They're boyfriend and girlfriend.
They probably go to
doesn't matter
place.
How old they are. He's like, I'd like to make out with you. You're my girlfriend. And she's like, shh, snow cones downstairs. He's had like 20 white claws. He could come up here and get pissed. Like, what? Like, he's like, Jesus, man, we're 70.
That's why they go
to his
house.
I thought we were way past this.
Well, what age would you, do you hope your kids are out of the house for good? Not that you don't always have an open door to them and you'd love to have them, but
sure.
Just as a dad, what age do you hope they're not only out of the house, but that you're not financially taking care of them anymore? Because part of you, too, is like, if I pay for college, then if I make it through that, I'd have this extra money.
No, you forget, I just kind of said I'm never, you know, I don't know. Like, there's just going to be a point where we don't work anymore. Like, I'm done. They're like, guys, we're tapped.
And that's when
we're
tapped.
Tapped. Like,
you guys are going to
have to figure
it out.
Here. Right. I mean, I got food and, I don't know, the car's paid for.
There's
like, you're welcome to, like, you know, stay. But, like, as far as you guys, like, making moves.
Right.
Doing something, like, we're tapped.
Just going out to eat, all that stuff.
Right.
Just forget about it.
We're going to try to figure out how to get through this on my Social Security or whatever. Like, you know, you don't have to go anywhere. You don't ever have to go anywhere.
Well, I'm going to tell you here in just a second this thing that I just saw was talking about. The percentage of parents who are financially supporting their adult children and what the average is. How much it costs to support your adult child. It's pretty interesting. I'll tell you in a sec.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, so it is kind of crazy how expensive it is to be a parent, and especially, like, you've talked, Laszlo, when your kids were young, about how people really try and scare you before you have a baby because they talk about how expensive everything's going to be, and then you have the kid, and maybe because they built this up so much, you're like,
oh, diapers aren't as expensive as I thought. Like, I just thought they were
hundreds of
bucks for four.
Right.
Like, Jesus.
The way people talk about it.
Right.
You think
and you're
that
like,
they
okay.
Were. And formula.
I mean, they're still expensive. Don't get me wrong. It's still expensive to have a kid. But the way people talk about it had me petrified.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God.
And I don't know.
I was
know.
Like, I'll just go to Costco and buy diapers. You'll be fine.
Like, would infancy, or at least when your kids are still babies, would you expect that to be the most expensive time raising a kid? I don't know what the most expensive time
teens,
is.
Teens, probably.
Because they need money for stuff.
Yeah.
And they're asking for probably more clothes. Like, they don't start asking for that stuff until they're
cars
tweens
and
teens.
Insurance.
Then they need a car.
Right.
And once you get to the car,
I mean, teens are
forget
way
about
more
it. Because now the car alone has just covered more than all the diapers
you
ever bought for both of your boys. And insurance, too, because now you've got to add 16-year-olds to your driver's insurance.
Two of them.
Which is almost as expensive as my insurance.
And now with, you know, like, I think my dad could do it different. Now it's just got to go on your insurance and they don't even have to cover you. Insurance company's like, forget it. You got two teenagers. So they just throw you in some sort of pool.
Oh, like where they say, we don't want your business?
Yeah.
That sort of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have that problem. I don't have kids, but I don't have any accidents. They really, really just don't like me. Well, yeah, the car thing would be because of college then being the most expensive, but college is out of the house. So I'm thinking, like, you know, before they leave the house, would be the most expensive. And you're probably right. Probably once you buy that car, that's the most expensive. But once they're out of the house.
Well, Snowcone's mom might have, like, it's going to be like when they're 40.
Well, that's what this thing is basically talking about. I guess parents giving money to their adult children really started to take off during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Because people needed some extra help. They were out of work, whatever. And I guess sort of like work from home, it was just one of these things where it became almost, a bad habit because parents are still spending a lot of money. They never really went back to the way it was pre-pandemic. And so it says that half of parents, and I just think about like what the average salary is, average household income, the number of people that are below the poverty rate, all those things. These numbers are shocking when you think about that because it's half of all parents with adult children mm-hmm. are providing regular financial assistance to those adult children. The average amount of money, and this is not for like college expenses, tuition at least, the average amount of money that a parent is giving to their adult child is $1,474 a month. A month. That's the average.
Yeah.
So out of, half of the parents that are giving them money, they're averaging almost $1,500 a month. Jesus Christ, that's my mortgage payment, which I think is high. That's a lot of money. $1,500 for your kid who's an adult. And it doesn't say necessarily that they either live with you or don't live with you. But either way, I mean, what is it? Having a toddler, I wouldn't think, costs $1,500 a month.
Oh, easy.
Really?
Yeah.
It's that expensive?
Yeah.
Man, just forget. I mean,
close to, probably.
Now,
I mean, everybody
so
does it differently, but,
It's 6%. That number's up 6% over last year. 83% of parents who are supporting these adult
children.
For me,
it's like what I notice is like, man, I got three guys at my house 24/7. Groceries, I don't even know. Like, I can't even.
Groceries are insane.
I don't even know. And now I got put two teenage boys in there who are both athletes who, you know what I mean, are growing and
can eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then me, like, what is on? We're like, Jesus Christ, like, we can't.
It's bad. It's bad. I mean, I buy the groceries for just me and Brooke, right? And so for two people, like, I do the grocery shopping. And I try to do it as cheap as I can. Like, what is something we can eat that'll last mm-hmm. more than all those things? It's still just incredible. Because the week is up and I go, well, yeah, it's been a week, but I bought so many groceries last week. Mm-mm. Probably have a lot left. No, you don't. Mm-mm. I mean, Brooke will look at me and be like, well, we're out of groceries. And it's like, God, it's been 6 days.
Yeah.
And I spent like $300.
It's unbelievable.
It's crazy. Now, yeah, it's cheaper than eating out, I guess.
Sometimes.
I don't really even know anymore. Because I'm like, I'm pretty sure if I took $250 and divided it by, we could at least eat out like 3 days a week probably and fit that in here because I don't know what it costs to eat out, though. It's probably gotten a lot more expensive, too. But I can't believe how expensive groceries are. Anyhow, 83% of these parents that are supporting their adult kids are giving them grocery money. Which, I mean, if you need money for something, if you don't have money for food, then that's when a parent's probably most likely to come and help. 65% pay for their cell phones. And about half of them, almost half, just under, pay for their adult children's vacations. Now, come on. I feel like you're allowed to draw the line somewhere. If the kid wants to go on vacation, and he's 22 years old or whatever. But I guess if they're going on like a spring break or something, do parents pay for that stuff?
I don't know.
You think they offer?
Yeah, I would think.
Like I'm going with my friends to Florida for spring break or Cancun or whatever.
Yeah.
You think that's parents are
they're probably
used to being asked
put
for
out
that?
For the flight?
That's
something
crazy.
To try to help out.
More than three quarters, 77% of these parents attach conditions to the financial assistance. So, you got to do something for me. I don't know what that is. If it means like, just like when you're a kid, you're going to wash the dog, or if it means you got to get certain grades in college, they don't say. But they attach some sort of conditions. 23% give them the money, no strings attached, no conditions. To me, it's one thing to have conditions if you're saying, when you're doing this polling, you ask, are there conditions? Some of those parents might say no, but I wonder how many of those parents are the kind of parents who do hold it over their kids' heads later.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I know people
that do that.
Where
they control
hold
you
it
with money.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and it's
and
too good to turn down.
You got to kind of kiss the ring.
Yep.
So you act a certain way.
You're not going to turn down the free money.
No.
We're human. If someone says, if you go out car shopping and you're 24 years old and then your mom goes, well, if you want that Subaru Outback, I'll get it for you.
Yeah. Well, I'll kick
you know you're that there's going to be some strings attached, but you're taking that money.
Oh, yes, you are.
And it's going to piss you off later down the road when she says something about it, but you got to take it. You're going to take the money. Nearly 50% of parents have sacrificed their own financial security to help their grown kids financially. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure that a lot of parents have risk their own or sacrifice their own financial security when their kids aren't adults. I mean, that's part of being a parent. Like, I gotta feed my kids. I want my kid to have a car even though I can't really afford it.
Of course.
That sort of thing. The stuff that they don't have to have, but you want a smartphone, whatever. And you're like, God damn it. It's going to be hard for me to pay rent this month because I just bought a new iPhone. But you want your kids to have that stuff.
Well, you can't say no. I mean, you can, but there's certain things that you can't.
Yeah, and, you know, that's why I just think 50% isn't really even that crazy of a number if we're already talking about the parents who do support their adult children. And they say working parents who support grown kids contribute over 2 times more money each month to their adult children than they do to their own retirement funds.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, $1,500 on average, I could imagine that.
And I don't know what age this is. You
Me too, because they give a range.
And what is it? Like, they're not, like, they're saying on an average, but what is, you know, $1,500 is somebody give you $20,000 as a down payment on a house? Well, then you go.
That's a big chunk.
And I'm not saying that, you know, that's not great. It's just, it's not, $1,500 a month sounds like I'm kicking you $1,500 a month. Maybe I lent you $20,000 to buy a house.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this would be more interesting if they'd done it 21 and over.
Mm-hmm.
By doing it 18 to 28, it just doesn't seem that weird to me that an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, yes, they're adults,
bucks a month.
But they're getting money for stuff from their parents. That
if
doesn't
in college,
seem that crazy.
Far away, like, yeah.
Exactly. So, and yes, okay, the fact that that number has continued to rise, like in 2023, it was 45%. Of parents that were giving money to their adult kids. Then it went up to 47% in 2024. Now it's at 50% in 2025. So, okay, I get that's interesting. More parents are contributing to their adult kids financially. I get that. But I'd be more interested in, like you say, what specifically are you buying?
Right.
How much?
And
then what is that age? Like the average ages that they talk about for first time you buy a house. For those things I find interesting because you can see it. As that age gets older, it correlates with things getting more expensive, you know? And I mean, there's lots of things that all basically give you the same information. It tells you things are getting more expensive. But I feel like they could have broke that down in this poll, in this survey, whatever, in the study, to show how much money the average parent is giving a 25-year-old. Let's take the college stuff out of it, and let's just talk about what's the percentage of parents that are giving their kids over the age of, let's say 24, over the age of 24 money every month, and then what's the average of those parents who are, what's their average? Because it's going to be way lower. I would guess that most of that money, those averages, and you're right, you mentioned the house thing. That could be a huge part of it, too, if you help your kid buy a house. But I would think that most of that money is going to the 18, 19-year-olds who are in college. They can't work full-time. The job that they do have doesn't pay that well, whatever. They need what little bit of money they have, and they need your help because everything's expensive.
Right.
So, you know, does it get cheaper? That's the other thing, too. Is it cheaper to have a kid in the house or out of the house, or does it stay the same? I'm curious if it's more expensive, if it could possibly be more expensive once your kid gets out of the house. With college, I'm sure it is. I don't see how it wouldn't be if you're going to pay for their college. But I would think that you expect some sort of a break as a parent. If you're not paying for college and the kid's leaving, then you would think that you get some sort of a break. But if the average parent is spending $1,500 a month just supporting an adult child who doesn't live there, then I'm not so sure. Maybe it costs just as much to have a kid out of the house as it does to have a kid in the house. And I'd also be interested, too, in breaking it down by how much money these families are making. Because they talked a little bit about, like, kids who have, I guess you'd call it like a trust fund, but at least that they received some sort of inheritance, like their parents received some. There's money in the family is what they're getting at. And I'd be curious, I feel like that probably skews that average way up as well. Because if you have trust fund kids, if the family comes from money and there's a lot of money, well, rich people are going to give their kids a lot of money. Their adult kids, a lot of money, for sure. And they're probably still buying them cars at 24. And they're probably buying them nice cars. So that average is going to be high. Maybe the median would have been better. I don't know. Now, the parents, they do break it down a little bit with parents of millennials and parents of Gen Zers. So parents of millennials, it's $907 a month, I think, is what they're spending. And then parents of Gen Zers, it's $1,813 a month. So there is a huge jump there. Huge jump. It's twice as much money for the parents of Gen Zers. But I just wonder if that's because of, yes, they're adults, but are they really at 18? I think back when I was 18, and I like to think that I was an adult, but I was in high school when I was 18. I was 18 my entire senior year. So I turned 19 right after I graduated. So a lot of 18-year-olds are still in school. And even if you did, you just finished high school. 18 is, it's an adult legally. But
yeah, but you're not really an adult.
Not really an adult. It's not really, and it's an adult if you're dating. Right? I mean, we can all agree then. That is the that is an adult. So if you bring an 18-year-old home, you know, that's what Lazo says. If you want to change the rules, change
the rules. But hopefully not while I'm alive.
The Church of Lazo.
Well, Lazo, I'm sure you've seen by now the fallout from this weekend's Morgan Wallen. I don't really know who Morgan Wallen is, but I know the name.
A country artist, right?
I know that,
right? I didn't see that anything bad happen.
He
walked off the set early?
So when they do the goodbyes on SNL, you know, the host comes out and says, thanks to so-and-so, thanks so-and-so, thanks so much, good night. And then the credits rolling, you see everybody hugging each other and the music plays, the SNL music plays. But what happened was the host, which is the girl from Honora, she says goodbye. The credits start to roll, and as soon as the credits start to roll, Morgan Wallen just walks off the stage.
Right.
I wouldn't have thought anything of that had I been watching that.
I thought nothing of
it. I would have thought he's got somewhere he needs to be. He doesn't know that he's supposed to stand up there with everybody. Right. That's honestly my first thought is like, probably doesn't know he's supposed to continue standing up there. It's one of those things. It's like a talk show, nightly talk show interview where they, you know, go to commercial, they're done, they say thank you so much, and you see the person sort of get up from their chair, and they're like, no, you can say. That's what I would have thought. But apparently, you know, people acted like, oh, you could tell there was something going on. It looked bizarre. But the real issue was that after he walks off stage, he walks out to his private jet, which I don't know how long it took from the time that they filmed him walking off the stage until he posted this picture, but he posted a picture of his private jet, and it just had a caption that said, take me to God's country.
Yeah.
So there's really nothing more to it than that. I feel like
I didn't see any big deal with any of it.
You know, I'm trying to save you a click here, because if you're like me and you don't know who Morgan Wallen is or you just don't care, you avoid it and avoid it. But then like today, I see them still talking about it, TMZ talking about it and Entertainment Tonight and all these things. And I thought, what is the big story? It seems like it's two things. One is that people are making fun of him because he's got a private jet, and he's saying, take me back to God's country, like that's somehow hypocritical.
Right. I don't get it.
Okay, whatever. And then the other thing is there are some rumors. I guess they've interviewed some of the cast members, asked them what happened. Why did he walk off the stage? I'm sure, I can imagine the cast members like, why the hell are you asking me about Morgan Wallen walking off the stage? Like, I don't know, nothing happened.
I did read an interview with the guy who does the news or whatever, and he was like, he thought it was weird, and something was up, but I felt like he was making a bigger deal out of it than... He's like, and then, you know, he posted on his Instagram or whatever, take me to God's country. Like, we're not in God's country? I'm like, well, no, but they don't call it God's country. They don't call New York City God's country. That's not the name for it. So I don't think there's anything weird for a country musician to play to his fan base and be like, get me out of New York City and get me back to God's country.
Right.
Without being like, I'm not saying
this hellhole.
This godforsaken. He's like, it's just like, get me back to God. Where someplace I'm more comfortable.
Yeah.
There's nothing. Like, I don't like Morgan Wallen either, but I'm like, I don't know. I didn't see anything wrong with what he did. So the dude walked off and it felt like they were making a big deal out of nothing. And then the tweet, like, ha ha. You said, get me back to God's country. I'm like, it's like, they literally call it Big Sky Country. Like, it's a Big Sky football conference. Like, there's a name for it, and New York and L.A. have never been confused with God's country.
The people who said, there's more churches in New York.
He's just saying, get me back to where I feel comfortable.
Right. And
where, like, there's dudes in Cowboys hats. Right, yeah. Of course.
Right, but he's a country star.
By the way, you wouldn't be like so weird if people were like, get me back to the city.
Exactly.
Right.
Get me back to urban, where there's some sort of life.
Get me back to life.
Civilization.
Right, get me back.
You see
people say it all the time. Get me to civilization.
I
think he probably was doing Saturday Night Live and was like, all right, you know, let's just make sure I don't catch too much crap. Give me back. Or maybe even felt that way. Give me back to God's country.
Maybe he wants to get out of there.
Yeah.
But so now there's a story going around that Lorne Michaels, backstage, went up to the girl from Honora.
Also,
who hosted.
They say there's one other person who walked off without giving the high fives or anything else.
Prince.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yep.
But they said when Prince did it, no one thought anything of it because he's Prince. Right. So they were like, he's Prince. He's pretty weird. Anxious person, antisocial, weird guy. Like, it would be weirder if he had stood here and hugged everyone. But now there's this story going around that Lorne Michaels was backstage, and he went up to the girl who was hosting and hugged her and thanked her for all of her help.
Crunchberry.
And
that's a good one. Crunchberry on our Twitter says, it's not like he said, take me to the Gulf of America.
Right.
He just said, like, basically, take me back to the Midwest, please.
Right. But this story that Lorne Michaels snubbed Morgan Wallen by saying hi to her, hugging her, and then just turning his back and walking away from Morgan Wallen. No evidence that this is actually true other than this person saying it. And so now it's being printed.
And by the way,
how is this a story?
And by the way, I can't believe it unless something happened and we don't know.
Yeah.
Because Lorne Michaels obviously booked him.
Right. And I think he booked him before. Hasn't he been on the show before?
He got canceled because of the...
I know, but didn't he... Hasn't he played? This wasn't the first time he's played the show,
right? I know that he did it once and...
He was supposed to, but then he got COVID because he was at a party like a kissing girl.
Yeah,
but I thought that they were saying, maybe I misunderstood, but I thought that it was the second time he'd performed. But I will say that there's been nothing that I've seen that Lorne Michaels has said he can't come back. Like, he's banned from the show. There's nothing like that. I'm sure Lorne Michaels is as surprised as anyone else that this is such a big story. The guy walked off the stage. He also, it's not like the girl who was hosting said, I want to thank everybody. And then he walked off before she was done saying thank you.
No, he gave her a hug and then walked off.
Yeah, he hugged her. She says goodbye. It's over the credits rolling. He hugged her and he left.
Right.
And he went up to his private jet.
Thing.
How is this a story?
And then the text people, that tweet, people were upset about him. Like, it's not even slightly odd.
No.
Like, it's really not even slightly odd. He's just said, take me back to God's country. Where, he's saying, I don't love New York City. By the way, that's every country song in the world. That's it.
Exactly. It's on brand. It's totally on brand.
And I don't know if he's making it up. Now, I would be like, oh, that's funny if you told me he grew up in Brooklyn.
Sure.
But I don't think he
did.
And
lives there.
So maybe he's in. He knows that. He's going to play with his audience. And I think there's also a 99% chance that he believes it.
Yeah, I do too.
Like, I'm just walking around here, and I'm tired of those goddamn vegan restaurants. It's like, get me back to Nashville or wherever the hell I'm from.
Yes. And for the people fighting it with these things like, you know, statistically, there's more churches. Stop. Right. Stop. He's a country star.
Yes.
He posted a picture. And if you want to post things, I saw people taking, you know, that theme and posting different pictures and saying God's country. I get it. That's fine. But if you're actually upset with Morgan Wallen, I question your sanity. I just... Why it's such a big story, I don't get. And I kept thinking there must be more to it.
Unless there's something behind the scenes.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what they want. That's what people want. But there's no real evidence that there was something behind the scenes other than the story about Lorne Michaels snubbing him, which is not... I don't think it was an actual cast member who came out on the record and said, yes, this is what happened. They asked Keenan about it, and he said, yeah, I have no idea. I saw that he left, but it seemed like Keenan was kind of like, I'm surprised that this is such a big story. And you said that you saw someone from Weekend Update say that.
They thought it was weird.
But
yeah.
Okay, there you go.
And they said, so what did Morgan Wallen say to Mikey Madison on SNL when he hugged her?
Okay.
This is what he said. Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Because this is crazy talk. Thank you all so much. I had a wonderful time. You son of a bitch.
Right. What the hell's wrong with this guy? The ego. Can you believe this?
He literally said, thank you all so much. I had a wonderful time. No wonder why he said, get me back to God's country.
Exactly.
He's like, I hugged this bitch.
And said, thank you.
Right. And named Mikey. Right. I hugged a bitch named Mikey.
And they're acting like this is you. Ashley Simpson part
right.
two.
Thank you.
Appreciate
all
it.
You weirdos. Love you. And then he's like, that son of a bitch. I got it. Like, yeah, give me back to God's country, you weirdos. Heaven forbid I say thanks. Dude's weird.
The Church of Laszlo.
So this happened in Los Angeles at the airport. We'll say it was at LAX. There's a plane at Hollywood in LAX, which I don't recall ever seeing, but I've only been to LAX maybe once. So there's a plane at Hollywood, and the server has these, it's a couple. It's like a husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. And this server said that everything seemed okay, but then it started to kind of not seem okay, and He said, you can just tell sometimes, you know, that there's something up, but you don't know exactly what it is. And at this particular restaurant, what they do is they automatically add gratuity to the bill.
Okay.
And I think the gratuity is like 18-point-something percent, okay. 18.5%. And yes, it's added to the bill, but you're allowed to
tip over.
Protest it. Well, you can tip over, but you can also protest it and say, hey, I got bad service. And then apparently they will remove that tip,
okay.
And you can tip what you think is fair. So we'll start with 18.5%. You can add more, or you can say, mm-mm, and then you could still, I guess, say, I'm going to tip 10% or whatever. So this server, he knew that something was up when they said, yeah, no, we don't want to tip 18.5%. He's like, yeah, something's going on here. His name's Guillermo. And so he brings him a new check, right? And on the check, there's a place for them to write in a tip. And instead, they give him no tip, and they decide to write something racist in there. They wrote, no tip for illegals. Go back to Mexico.
Oh, Jesus.
We've seen like almost identical stories of this before, right? Where someone writes something racist in on the... on the check at dinner. It's been a little while, I feel like,
yeah.
But I have seen these. I'm having deja vu. But so they write no tips for illegals. And of course, this hurt his feelings. I mean, he does have feelings, and this upset him. And he ended up being interviewed by the local news in LA to talk about it.
It says, no tips for illegals, go back to Mexico.
It happened towards the end of Guillermo's shift at the Planet Hollywood restaurant at LAX. Guillermo tells me he was waiting on an American couple, and things were fine until he brought out their check. The gratuity was already included, which is 18.5% of the bill. But at the bottom, it states if the customer is not satisfied with leaving that amount, they could have it removed. And that's what Guillermo had done after they complained. When he opened the checkbook, however, instead of any tip amount, there was that hurtful, hate-filled message.
And it made me feel so... I mean, it's made me feel bad. I mean, I'm not even Mexican. I'm Puerto Rican.
He's Puerto Rican!
Right.
He's not even Mexican. He's Puerto Rican.
Right.
So, you know, let it be a lesson to you if you are thinking about writing... No tip for illegals. Go back to Mexico.
Like, why would you do it?
I don't know.
Why? Like, what's the point?
You're an adult. You're an adult. You're at a restaurant at an airport.
Right, and you're not making, like, and I don't think that you should, but you're not making any political statement either.
No.
It's just between you and one guy.
Yep.
So, like, why?
I don't know.
Like, I can't even,
are you hoping it's going to get on the door? I really don't. Are you actually upset? Are you genuinely upset by the fact that your server has an accent? Like, is that just fills you full of rage? Because I would think in this country, you'd be filled with rage an awful lot. Because
right.
There's a lot of people who speak English as a second language. There's a lot of Hispanics, right? It's where Spanish is their first language, specifically. So I don't see how you could possibly be so upset. Like, this is how you live your life. Everywhere you go... And someone
right.
has an accent.
Doesn't make any sense.
You get filled with this sort of rage, and then you decide to write on there. It's not trying to make a political statement. It's sadistic. It's like...
It's just mean.
You like hurting people's feelings.
Or you don't want to leave a tip.
You don't want to leave a tip.
And it's also cowardly. Like, you know you're going to be gone by the time you see it.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to say it, why don't you say it to his face?
Say it to his face.
Right. Like, when he comes out, be like, yeah, I don't want an illegal waiting on my table.
Right.
You let him do all the work and then not pay him.
Exactly. At least then he could have told you he was Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no, I'm American,
dude. I
hate
that it's so cowardly.
I know. And this guy said, like, you know, his wife is Mexican, and obviously his feelings were still hurt by it and all that, but it's kind of funny that he's Puerto Rican, like the person who wrote it. Not that we expect someone who writes something like that to be intelligent and have thought that stuff through, but just like, as an adult, a kid, I could see a kid doing something hurtful. I'm sure we all as kids said something, maybe not racist, but you said something hurtful to someone and then you went, oh, I didn't like the way that felt. But it's like you test it. You're kind of testing the waters a little bit. You're saying, what's funny, what's not funny?
Right.
And you say something and it hurts someone's feelings, and hopefully you go, oh, I didn't want to hurt someone's feelings.
Right.
That's not good. As an adult, someone who's old enough to fly, old enough to go to a plane at Hollywood, also the woman who's with this guy, let's just say the guy, the husband, boyfriend, whatever it was, he's the one that wrote this. Does she know that he wrote this on the receipt? Does he tell her, like, hey, I'm not going to tip. I'm so mad about these illegals. I'm going to write down on this piece of paper, no tip for illegals. Because I kind of think there's a chance she doesn't know. I think there's a chance that he gets the bill. He might tell her, like, I'm upset. They put 18.5%. I want to change that. Gets the manager or whatever to bring him a new bill, fills it out, and then the wife says, "What'd you get, Mom? I gave him 15%. That's fair." And doesn't tell her. But it's, you know, more likely that she does know. I know. I'm giving her. I'm trying to give her the benefit. That means
part of the matriarchy the whole time.
Two people involved.
She's all into it,
and she doesn't stop him. She doesn't say, "Don't write that down."
Don't write it down.
Why are you doing that?
Have you been around white women?
Yeah.
Have you been around white women?
I know.
You really think that white suburban woman with the racist husband is standing up for the Puerto Rican dude?
I'm hopeful.
No.
I'm hopeful that she's like, "You don't need to write that." I don't know. Just that she's an adult.
What in the past history would make you hopeful of
that? She's an adult. Like, two adults are willing to leave this message for this guy in an airport plane to Hollywood?
Yes.
I mean, come on. Grow up. It's not just grow up. Like, you're a bad person. You are a bad person because it's not funny in any way. You can't give me the, you know, "Oh, it was a TikTok prank." No. Mm-hmm. You're a bad person, and you're an idiot.
Yeah.
And you're an extra idiot because the dude's American.
Yeah, why write it on there? Right. And they're Puerto Rican.
The dude's American, so, you know, in case you didn't look like an idiot already, you definitely do now.
The Church of Laszlo.
You see any good... Or did anybody get you with any April Fool's jokes there?
No. I kind of forgot about it. I read something earlier that was talking about, "Hey, here's some good April Fool's jokes you could play on your partner." And I was like, "Oh, I'm okay."
I don't really partake, but I do like if somebody gets me.
Did somebody get you?
Yeah.
Who got you?
Your kid? Tiger Woods. You see it?
No.
He tweeted, like, after my Achilles... He had an Achilles rupture.
Uh-huh.
"I've been with my doctors, and we've been working on it, and after 8 weeks, I'm good to go. I'm going to play in the Masters." And I was like, "God damn, man." Like, they thought Aaron Rodgers, and then you scroll up, and it's like, "Just kidding, my Achilles is a mess." And I was like, "All right, that's a good one.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, because I did, like, I never click on Tiger Woods. I clicked on it, I was like, I don't remember how many months it was or whatever. Yeah. I was like, "God damn, that was fast. Dude's going to play in the Masters," and it just said, "Just kidding, my Achilles is a mess, Tiger Woods." I think you got me.
Pretty good.
You got me.
Yeah, the celebrity ones sometimes can be kind of funny.
Yeah, especially if they're not like a big deal.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like that one is quick. You know?
I don't remember doing it as a kid. I'm sure I did. I know in school you probably do it.
Yeah.
But like when you're a little kid and it's so dumb, none of it's believable. But I remember my parents. My parents weren't pranksters.
Mm-mm.
So we never really did April Fools.
Mm-mm.
So sorry I don't have one for you.
You should do one tonight, Snowcone. Tell your mom you got your own place. "Mom, I'm moving out."
"Well, she'd be sad because I got to help take care of her."
you'd have to tell her you found someone else.
That'd be the joke. "I found someone else to come over and take care of you, and I'll pay for it."
Yeah, there you go. There you go. You got to make it somewhat believable, though, I think. That's the thing.
If like, she'd have to believe she needs someone to take care of her.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's why I'm there.
Well, we know. But also, you know, that you could afford to hire... Help,
that's,
I mean.
That's the joke.
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, you should do it, though. Try it.
Okay, I'll give it a shot.
Will you record it for us?
I'll record it. Really
record it for her. Just say, "Hey, Mom, I got a place."
Okay.
"I got my own place."
Like, you know, surreptitiously record. Don't hold the phone up so she knows
you. Right.
Yeah. I'd be like, "Hey, I found a place.
I'm going to move in this weekend."
I don't record that. Got a roommate. Sad. I have to do that. "I found someone to come take care of you first."
Okay, sure.
"And I'll pay for it." That's the joke.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah. Just do the bit.
Jesus Christ. All right, Tiger Woods, good show. Stay positive, kids.
The Church. The Church of Laszlo.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Men, when was the last time you felt unstoppable? Low testosterone could be draining your energy, strength, and sex drive. At Beaumont Health and Wellness, we help men reclaim their power with hormone replacement therapy, weight loss, and IV hydration. Get peak performance with our $147 hormone replacement starter kit, including a private consultation, precision blood work, and a free B12 shot to fire up your system. Beaumont Health and Wellness. Age is just a number. Desire is forever. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.